Listen and stream the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Govan here with you all the way until 12 o'clock, and joining us this morning on the program Freedom 106.5 FM as we celebrate Trinidad and Tobago's 60th independence is Eric Barry. He's already with us online. He is an actor, writer, director for the work of a stage, screen and radio. His plays have earned 7 Cacique Awards. So let's get into our discussion. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you today? Good morning and happy independence.
Thank you very much. Same to you and the nation as well.
All right, great. So yes, you're quite an accomplished creative genius, if I may say so.
Genius. Wow. Okay.
well, of course, with the accolades that you've had, I think that's quite fitting. Right. In terms of those, the most recent would have been placing second in the Prime Minister's Best Village Playwriting Competition with 3 acts. That's in 2021. You're actually the regional winner for the Caribbean for BBC International Radio Playwriting Competition the year prior, back in 2020. And you also have a short film that's titled The Interview.
Yes.
Would you give us a very short synopsis without giving out too much, because I know that's coming up. It's going to be screened at this year's film festival in a couple of days.
Yes. Well, it's a short film, so I can't speak much about it because I'll give away the whole story. But what it is basically, it's a story that focuses on what we call implicit bias, where you just see somebody from a particular area or particular look or whatever, and you form an opinion about them without even knowing anything about this person at all.
Right.
So what this interview movie is about, it focuses on this young man who comes from one of those marginalized communities, and he is seeking work, and unfortunately for him, he's very honest. He's a very honest person. He doesn't like to tell lies and so on. But the reality of this is that people who come from these areas tend to have to tell a lie in terms of where they are from, because they feel they may not get employed.
Sure.
Once the recruiter knows they are from this particular area, no employment. So he is faced with that problem, but he's an honest, tough-fought young man. But he is faced with this dilemma that he must get a job, but he doesn't want to tell a lie as to where he's from.
Interesting predicament.
Yes.
Fantastic. All right. So we spoke about, well, that's the latest thing that you have coming out pretty soon.
Yes.
So let's dive into the details all about, you know, this industry and this endeavor that you've undertaken. Who would have inspired you to get involved and to become an actor and be so involved in local theater?
Well,
what would have spurred you in that direction?
Well, it all began in childhood. Growing up, I'm going to show my age now, but growing up in the 70s and so.
Sure.
The most creative show on TV, according to my teacher at the time, was Sesame Street, because they had a lot of creative pieces and stuff in Sesame Street. Really, really imaginative stuff. And also at the time, we had one TV station, TTT, but we had a great volume of local content that we were seeing ourselves, which Horace James was the head of drama at the time at TTT. So on a Wednesday, we had a local comedy thing called Let's Laugh. I believe Stockton Hill was the person who had that show. We had play of the month. Every month there would be a new dramatic play that would have been on TV. I heard a lot of other local stuff. And as a young man growing up, I felt I wanted to do this kind of a thing. I wanted to create. But I grew up in Coover, and Coover had no sort of vehicle that was evident to me. So it was just a dream to do this one day. Was just a dream, but an impossible dream, because, you know. And in my late teens, I believe it was, there was an ad in the newspaper to join a drama group in San Fernando, and I went, And I joined that group. It was the San Fernando City Theater Movement, led by Shane Bikram. And that's where it all began. And it was really, really good. Back in those days, we had groups. We had groups. And you trained. You learned there. And I remember we spent... all of us were young. It was a new group that was formed. And he had formed, Shane had formed this new group. And all of us who joined were a bunch of young, eager, bright-eyed people. And he spent about 6 months training us, doing workshops every Saturday, voice on the body, on the mind of the actor, and all of that. Reading scripts, analyzing scripts, and then we did our first play after about 6 months of training. So it was like school.
Right.
And interestingly, it was a play called, the first play we did was a play called Who Killed Pablo Sierra. And I, on that first outing, I got nominated for Best Supporting Actor on my first outing.
Right off the bat, wow.
Yeah. I didn't win, but it was an honor.
Well, I mean, to be nominated in itself,
yeah,
that speaks for itself, right?
Yeah, so that's the origins of me on this course. Yeah.
Okay, right. So you mentioned those maybe your origin story taking place with that San Fernando theater workshop and so on. How long did you spend with them, and what would have happened thereafter?
Okay. I believe the group was formed in 1988, somewhere around there. And I had a lot of fun with them because I tend to have been given the meteor roles. So Eric Barry was a person you would see playing, not always a lead, but a major role. And we did a lot of work, especially in 89. But in 1991, so I was there with the group from 88 to 1990, sorry. And I felt I need to grow.
Sure.
So I then went to UWE in 1991 to get formal training, which was really and truly an amazing experience. I did the certificate program in theater arts. And we did everything in terms of theater. So it was acting, it was studying theater history from ancient Greece to modern time, Caribbean theater, African theater. We did even puppetry. We did everything. But the focus of it, the core focus of the course was you being a Caribbean citizen, a Caribbean artist, and being able to speak with your Caribbean voice when it is to create your work.
Because
that was the focus of it, yeah.
Right, so interesting that you mentioned that, and I like the focus of it as well. Because, like for instance, in the States, you have like Broadway, UK, you have huge theater halls that are on everybody's wish list. Yeah. Well, for the travel enthusiasts and so on, and it's seen and appreciated as something for the more maybe I don't want to say classy, but maybe more refined or persons of a different palettes to appreciate maybe the finer things in life, etc. Do you think we get that here in TNT, or is it not yet at that stage?
In terms of what do you mean? In terms of
the appreciation of it and how society embraces it.
Well, our society is a very interesting one because some people see the theater as a kind of an elite kind of a club.
Right.
So I know people who have never been to a play in their life, which I find like, what? You've never been to a play? Some friends of mine,
sure.
Never been to a play. And there are various reasons why. And some of them said they always wanted to go, but they never had the, I don't know if it was encouragement or whatever it was to attend. Then you have others who who would go to certain things, which is more popular, more for the common man. Right. So let's say like the I would say let's go like the comedy festival for one. I mean it's comedy, but it's still theater in a way. But that does extremely well, right? That does extremely well. But in terms of a play, we have a long way to go still in terms of getting a bigger appreciation, as you describe it. But we also have, like, for example, Best Village. And Best Village has its audience and its people who go to Best Village, but they may not go to a play in Central Bank.
Sure.
You understand? Sure. So there are different pockets of it. But we really need, as according to you, to maybe build up even more of an audience.
And awareness as well, because for instance, I know students that may do literature, may be exposed to some of the typical like Shakespeare plays and all of those things. But I'm just trying to figure out whether or not we get that exposure to the youths, whether or not it could probably be introduced into the curriculum or something like that. Because I know certain schools, you would have a drama department. And I could remember in secondary school, drama was one of the classes that we looked forward to the most because it was so expressive. It wasn't we did have some theory to learn, but it wasn't like this heavy, like comparing to mathematics or like science, you have to learn this formula, the next. It was very, very instructive. And I mean, I was considered myself as to be a little bit introverted, but the minute somebody gives me a microphone and says speak, they can't really hush me up. But back then, I didn't really realize that. But it's really, really creative, and I saw how wonderful it would have been back then to have that as part of our curriculum. I don't know how many schools will inculcate that into their school and their holistic development right now.
It is on the curriculum right now, theater arts.
Right.
Within the last, I think in the early 2000s, it was on the syllabus.
Right.
So they have dance, they have theater arts, and a few other things as well that wasn't around when I was going to school.
Right. So that would have been one of the changes that you would have seen. From your years a couple of years ago, not too long, but just a couple years back, right?
Yes, definitely, because I do remember. I don't know if you know of the Secondary School Drama Festival that happens every year, and where all the schools from the country they compete, and it was normally based in San Fernando at the Bowl, but I remember back in the day. The people who would go to help direct the schools used to volunteer, but they would go after school and have to find time or also whatever to do the work because children have to go home, they have transport coming for them and all of that. So it was a bit of a hustle back then. But now it is part of the school work. So that's a big difference now that they have, it's more readily possible or easier, I think, to prepare the work for the festival and stuff.
Right, because it's interesting that you mentioned, because I remember, because I would have been in secondary school around 2001, and we had drama and all of those things, and it was quite exciting. And then our drama teacher got a transfer somewhere else, and there wasn't someone to fill the vacancy, so we were exposed to it for a bit. And then we left after quite some time until probably CXE level when someone did come in. But that by that time, everyone would have chosen subjects and it would have been out of reach then.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, you know, it being included a little bit more now, well, more into the curriculum. What are some other advancements that you have noticed with respect to this industry and this field of creativity?
Okay. Advancements, but definitely we have more spaces because there's now NAPA and SAPA and there are other venues as well. So that is definitely one. We also have, well, thanks again to the program, because there's the degree program at UV now, in theater arts, and also at UTT they have that performing arts program as well. So there are more people who are specialized in different areas. So I think you have a lot more skilled or formally trained personnel in the field, in all areas. And then, like I mentioned before, there are more venues. So that is the plus. The if I may say, on the downside, if I may, like I mentioned, when I started theater, sure, back in the day, I joined a group. And what happened was that at that time, there was a lot of groups all around the country. And people joined a group, and that's where they got their schooling for theater and so. But there are no groups anymore as they were back then. And instead, there are more or less production companies that just do a show, and they hire professionals to do the show. So it's a bit harder for people now to get in. So, unless, of course, you do the training in the school, right. You have that. But if you finish school now, is to get seen by a company to get involved. So I think it's harder in that way than when we were in the group. That's the only thing I think is a little bit of a dismay.
But why do you think we've had that, I guess, shying away from the group setting? I know, okay, yes, we've had the institutions, you know, teaching and so on. But yes, there would be a lot of practical experience with that. But in terms of just harnessing your creativity outside of, you know, a school setting, it could be quite difficult, you know?
I honestly cannot say for a fact, but I want to believe that when we had the recession in the 80s going into the 90s, I want to believe that has something to do with it, with the groups becoming less and less and less and less. I want to believe that, but I really cannot say for certain what caused the decline.
Right, Okay, well, thanks so much, Eric. We've got to take a break at this point in time. And of course, it's Independence Day. So when we come back, we'll be, you know, tapping into some of your experiences for Independence. And we'll be continuing the discussion right here on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
And we're back, Freedom 106.5 FM, and Govind here with you all the way until 12 o'clock. And on with me is Eric Barry. So Eric, we've been speaking about, well, of course, today's Independence. What does Independence Day mean for you on a personal level?
For me, I think at the center of it is, I would say, is pride of being you, that you are now on your own feet in a way, that you are your own boss, and you have so much to show of yourself, that is, that you have accomplished, that you can do, and the promise of what you will do as well. That is just brilliant. That's my simple explanation of what I think independence is. Yeah.
Right. So you mentioned that you grew up in Couva. What was it like in terms of Independence Day observances or just being in that era for this occasion?
I just remember something. I'll come back to your question there.
Sure.
Where I'm concerned, I am an independence child in a way, because my birthday was yesterday.
Oh, great. Well, happy belated birthday.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And my parents, they had 9 children, and all the names were chosen out of some significant event or person. Like I have a brother and sister who were born in December, and they named them Noel and Gloria, you know, Christmas names.
Sure.
Where I was born, the day before Independence, not Independence Day 62, but Independence Day, the celebration, I was named after Eric Williams, because he was, at the time, the figurehead of the whole movement for independence. Not figurehead, but the force, one of the forces behind independence. thing. So I was named after him. That's why I'll mention that as part of the whole independence thing. Growing up in Vancouver, I have to laugh because for me, and for, I looked at the parade in the morning on TV, and after the president left the Savannah, and then the TV went back to regular programming, that was it. That was it, that was it. And it was just a regular holiday. You just chill for the rest of the day.
Right.
And it was only when I got big, I would have been 2000 and maybe 2000 and mid-2000, 2010, somewhere around there. I was now living in Woodbrook on Robert Street, which is the street next to Shagirit Road. So a friend told me, Barry, come out to Lyme. I pulled a Spain friend. I said to Lyme, what, you know, I don't know what we're talking about. Say we come on Shagirit Road and we watch the parade. I had no idea that after the TV, the parade on the TV went off, that there was all of this festivity happening in Port of Spain. So I came out, I walked on the road, around Kappa Drugs there. And as I bent the corner, I was just in total shock to see this sea of people wearing red, white, and black. A sea of people. And I'm like, wait, this is a thing you see on TV happening in America, and all this pride and celebration of the country. So I was blown away completely by this sight. And I saw the parade first time, and it was like a child in a candy store. You know, I was just blown away by this whole thing, this experience. And then also going from house to house for friends. Who had food that prepared for Independence Day and like Christmas, and then the Panyards have lime, and there was a lime here and a lime there. So that was the difference. Vancouver, there wasn't anything happening growing up in Vancouver, but I got carried away there.
Because I mean, you know, Vancouver is pretty much still considered a rural area, I think even now I'm not aware of any like major things that happen. Of course, now we see all the businesses that put up their little decorations and and those sort of things. But aside from that, I mean, this year we would have had a month long of activities that's taking place from now leading up to Republic Day as well, too, I believe.
Yes.
So that would have been getting into various communities, and so which is a change, and I think a welcome change as well.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, so, but that needs to happen for sure, especially like other communities, because if it's a celebration of self in terms of your country, it ought to be experienced by everybody as much as possible.
Right.
I shouldn't have to come to Port of Spain to be part of the spectacle.
Right, because as you mentioned, you know, you would have been looking for years growing up at the parade that showed on television. And after that, that's more or less the end of it. You know, it's a holiday. Just relax, you know, or maybe do something fun with the family or go to the beach or some sort of thing. So with that in mind, I want to kind of prod you a little bit. And your creative side, would there be anything maybe in the not too distant future, or have you ever thought about some sort of creative element in terms of or on the lines of independence?
That's an interesting question.
Because I'm just thinking about, you know, your upcoming work, the interview, which in a sense is about being independent, trying to break away from the stigma that is kind of attached to your geographic location and all of those things, and really trying to make it on your own feet, you know. So it's maybe along those same kind of themes that may be highlighted in your upcoming work. I know you don't want to get into it too much because it's a short film. We don't want to give out too much information. Yeah. But as we mentioned that as well too, maybe you could indicate where persons could go and view it and so on as well.
Right, the interview. It will be at the film festival coming up in a few weeks. And the center of the festival is at Movie Town for 3 days. I think 21st, 22nd, and 24th. I believe the 22nd is a school show that at Nalis. But I don't know where the other shows are as yet because the schedule will be released on the 3rd of next month.
Okay, great.
So I don't know where the other, but I believe it will be at Movie Town. And I do think, though, it might be even available beyond, but I can't speak as yet.
Sure, that. Understood.
But you mentioned about the work at Independence. I can tell you that because of my training at UV, which was always about you, the Caribbean artist, creating your work that speaks with your voice, that it, I have always been doing work that is about us and speaks about us. And particularly, I can talk about in 2004, I wrote a play called The Catalyst, and it was what I call a musical political drama. And it was quite a hit because it was basically about this peanut vendor, a nuts vendor on the street, who, through a series of interesting circumstances, becomes the Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago, right? And he had his best friend was a Calypsonian when he was a peanut vendor. But when he becomes the Prime Minister, you know, Calypso and politics don't really go hand in hand. So
yes,
they became bitter enemies, which was a very Trinidadian-esque play. So I think that is something, if you're talking about independence, it might not be about independence itself, but it is about lines, us, yeah. Which I think speaks about independence anyway.
Okay, great.
I should bring it back someday, though, The Catalyst. People always ask for it again.
Yes,
I'm going to bring it back.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, we're already out of time. I can't believe it. But before we wrap up, of course, today's independence. What are your thoughts in terms of what you would like to see going forward? In terms of the industry, in terms of theatre, as we celebrate 60 years, I know a lot of persons are looking forward to the years coming as we approach, yes, 100 years and so on. And definitely, we, as you mentioned, we have seen some developments in, yeah, your area of theatre and so on. What are some things that you would like to see as we move beyond 60 years of independence going forward?
Definitely, like what you touched on before, is in terms of attracting more people to come and see the shows. One issue we have, and I think it's the major issue, that the general public does not see the value of spending $100, maybe $200 to go and see a play. And because they think a play should probably be free or should cost a little bit of money to attend. Whereas they have no problem spending a big set of money to go to a fete. But that's where we are. We love a party, and you can't beg for that.
Right.
But we have to find a way of making people love theater just as much and recognize that payment to see the film, the show, is valid, and you get good value for your money. I think that is where, right, the main thing is.
Because, in terms of, you know, looking at the, I guess, hesitance or maybe lack of information or ignorance of it, but a lot of people have no problems putting out monies to go to watch a movie.
Right.
And even locally, we have premieres and so on. You know, you just go a day before to see it before everybody.
Yes.
And it's often maybe three times the price of a normal ticket. And yes, you see lines from here. All our movie tongue has space. But, you know, it would be nice to have that same kind of appreciation for theatre as well.
Yeah, I think it is, definitely marketing is a big area of it. And what happens to many of us is that we get the budget to rent the hall, the budget to build the set, and a few other things as well. But the budget for marketing is what suffers, that many companies don't have that marketing money to spend to really publicize the work and excite an audience to come and see the show. So that is one issue we have. We have to find out how to get that marketing money,
right,
more than the money for the rental and
production
and
elements,
and stuff. So that's a big thing. Another thing, definitely production values, because an audience come to the show hoping to get an emotional roller coaster ride, or to have a good laugh or even a good cry. And I think the people who are doing the work, be it the director and the actors, really and truly have to deliver. So when it is that audience member leaves that space, it is that they have a different, how we say it? You do not leave the same way you came in, all right? So you leave as a different person, a different experience. You're just like, wow, or whatever it is. That's what we have to work on in terms of presenting the shows.
Well, hopefully with the exposure, with media and maybe some corporate support, we'd get there. Unfortunately, we have to wrap up at this time, but before we do so, I'll give you the opportunity to extend greetings for Independence before we wrap up.
Yes, to everybody in Trinidad and Tobago, happy 60th anniversary, and we have a lot to be proud of in terms of culture, in terms of academia, in terms of sport. I just hope that we can do more in the future and inspire the young ones to excel as well. Happy birthday, Trinidad and Tobago.
Thank you so much. That was Eric Barry joining us this morning on the program Freedom 106.5 FM as we celebrate Trinidad and Tobago's 60th independence.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
So it's a packed day today. I'm going to be sharing with you major events that shaped our Diamond Jubilee from 1962 to 2022. During the course of the program today, I'll try to get as most of it, as much as it in as possible. Also coming up during the show, our special interview with Winston Dukaran and Dr. Surjatan Rambachan. So the first independence, 1962. Trinidad and Tobago gained its independence from Great Britain on August 31st, 1962, on midnight. On the 30th of August, the Union Jack or the British flag was lowered and the Trinidad and Tobago flag was raised for the very first time. Bells tolled and sirens rang out to herald the birth of the newly independent nation. The first Independence Day was marked by more than a week of festivities and events across the country from August 28th to September 5th that year, 1962. The year after, Hurricane Flora, one of the most famous hurricanes to affect the island of Tobago and is among the deadliest Atlantic hurricanes in recorded history. Flora began as a tropical depression in the intertropical convergence zone on September 26th, 1963, before developing into Tropical Storm Flora 3 days later on the 29th. The storm then quickly intensified with rapid convection, becoming the monster known as Hurricane Flora just the next day. Moving along to 1964, athletes from Trinidad and Tobago competed at the 1964 Summer Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. This marked the return of Trinidad and Tobago to the Olympic Games as a separate nation after having competed as part of the British West Indies in the 1960 Summer Olympics. 13 competitors, all men, took part in 10 events in 4 sports, bringing home 1 silver and 2 bronze medals. Our flag bearer was the politician and economist Wendell Motley. And I'll give you one more before we wrap up for this segment on Freedom 106.5 FM. Looking at 1965, Captain Seedley Joseph and his teammates were able to defeat Suriname for its first ever World Cup qualifying victory back in 1965 in a 1966 qualifying match. Trinidad and Tobago became the 7th team from the Confederation to win its first ever World Cup qualifier after defeating visiting Suriname 4-1 at Queen's Park Oval in Port of Spain on February 7th, 1965. We're taking a look at major and note of civil events from 1962 to today, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM as we celebrate the 60th independence of Trinidad and Tobago.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.